You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello, welcome to Tuesday's Racing Podcast from William Hill. My name is Jack and I'm joined for today's podcast by Rory Delahi. How are you, Rory?
I'm not too bad, Jack, thank you.
Good, good. So you've been in and out this weekend, but we've looked back at the Champions Day already. The Racing Post has now moved on to looking ahead to ITV and their new lineup that they're going with. It's been fully announced and it includes Victoria Pendleton and Frankie Dettori.
Yeah, a couple of new names coming out last night. This has been leaked, if you like, in bits and pieces for months now, which has been a slightly strange way of doing it. But Frankie Dettori, Victoria Pendleton and Bruff Scott.
Mm.
New names, as it were. Although when I was about 6 years old, Bruff Scott was anchoring ITV coverage. So that's a bit of a trip back to the past.
A bit of a nostalgia trip for many people.
Yeah, but it used to be everywhere.
Mm.
in the old days, Bruff Scott, and he's rather disappeared, but interesting to bring him back. I'm not sure how. I guess features and stuff like that is what he will do, which is what he's done for the last 20 or 30 years. Victoria Pendleton would be a surprise to a few, and I don't know how they're going to use her. But I have to say, I think in terms of broadcasting appeal, she's a long way from being the weakest link in the team.
Mm.
Again, the key to TV coverage is getting people talking about stuff that they're A, comfortable with, and B, that they can actually reveal something to the public.
Mm.
And often you've had an issue of having square pegs and round holes. People who know their stuff but are being asked to talk about things that are beyond their expertise.
Yeah.
And so you just get people misused. So hopefully that won't be a case. So there's certainly plenty of people there to use.
Yes, it's a big page, isn't it? Big lineup, yeah.
Frankie Dettori obviously will always be appealing to people.
Yeah.
But yeah, when Pendo was on Channel 4 last year, obviously, you know, the agenda there was her plan to ride in the Fox Hunters.
Yeah.
And that was well promoted, obviously. But she came across really well.
Mm.
She's genuinely enthusiastic. She's a good talker. She's very intelligent.
Yeah.
If she's asked to talk about being a jockey, then she doesn't have a huge amount of experience for that.
No.
But if they get her talking about aspects of sport that she's very familiar with,
yeah,
I think she'll do quite well.
She'll be good for the psychological stuff as well, won't she?
She will, exactly. And
yeah.
I that doesn't get covered at all.
I
think that's really important. So it'll be interesting to see how she gets used. Interesting that they're having their own weather reporter.
Yeah, I saw that as well. Yeah.
I mean, she's Lucy Verasamy is top ITV weather girl, like, as it is anyway, but we don't tend to talk enough about the weather.
No.
It tends to get a passing mention, but it's hugely important because of, you know, understanding what the ground's going to be like. And we constantly have issues with potentially misleading going reports. And if we are going to concentrate on the weather, A, on a morning show and then again in the afternoon, then that's potentially beneficial. So it's easy to crab it. It's easy to look at, especially when you see them lined up and the way it is done in the post with the experts, and you think, not sure that's a particularly strong bunch of experts, but you do have some very, very strong members of that team.
Yeah.
And the key is how they're utilised and who's able to call the shots. I think they've got, I think it's a real shame that you don't have someone like Nick Luck in there. But I do think that Ed Chamberlain, given they're looking for a populist outlook, I think he will do really well. And the key is how he's able to rein the others in on the show. So it'll be interesting
It will, because I suppose the idea now for ITV, especially after what Channel 4 have been producing for the last few years, is to gain a new viewership, a younger generation perhaps, you could say, but also then not patronise the existing people who've moved from channel to channel, who, you know, regular race goers, who watch it every weekend without fail. You've got to try and get that balance right, I suppose, haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah, and again, it's key to get new people involved. You can't afford just to go down a very narrow path.
Mm.
You can't try to compete with other things that younger people will be interested in without having the integrity of the subject matter that you're dealing with. So it's a difficult balance to make. But I'd be very interested to see exactly how they kick things off.
Yeah, it'll be very, very interesting, of course, as well. More race days as well. Can only be a good thing. We'll all see how it pans out. Elsewhere, making the news, David Pipe is now aiming King Sox towards the Gold Cup and used the words very exciting.
Yeah, he's a horse that we don't know an awful lot about here. He's won once over fences in France. He's a four-year-old. He's one of the top juvenile hurdlers in France. And it's the, what was the Mackeson in the good old days at the Open meeting. Mm-hmm. Very few four-year-olds have won on that. Obviously, we had a four-year-old win the December Gold Cup years ago, and Paul Nicholls had a very warm favourite for this race about 10 years ago. He was sadly killed in the race. King Sox doesn't have a handicap mark, so that'll be interesting. He'd be he'd be put in the race, and then it'll be up to the up to Phil Smith, I suppose, work out where to pitch him, and that's not easy to do. He might not get in the race.
No. He's not running again before, is he?
Well, he could do, but he'll obviously be handicapped in the form that he's shown in France, and he's had less runs over fences than he has over hurdles, and indeed his last three runs in the summer were over hurdles, so he's not an easy one to weigh up, and it may well be the handicapper gives him a mark that means that he just misses out, but he's certainly an interesting runner, and the fact that David Pipe, who's won the race with great endeavour, and his father obviously trains a hatful of winners of the race, makes him a very interesting contender.
Yeah, it does indeed. Well, another one that we'll wait and see. We'll be looking, though, at races for Tuesday. We've got a couple of races from Newcastle coming up. Also got one from Yarmouth as well. But first, we're going to start with the jumps, seeing as we were just talking about them. And there's a handicap chase at Exeter, which is at 3:10. And it's over the 3 miles. And there's 8 runners here. Rory, what do we make of this field?
We've got last year's winner in it, who needs a mention in the first place, and that's the tricky Caulfield's Venture, who pulls up more often than he hits the frame. But when he's right, he's all right, and he won this race last year on quick ground under Aidan Coleman off a mark of 1.27. He's only a pound higher now, but he's pulled up in both starts since. In fairness, you can forgive both of those. One of them came on softish ground at Ascot in a race where he would have been, to me, out of his depth. And then he was off a long time after that before running poorly at Wincanton back in May. The fact that he won this race last year suggests that he's been aimed at this for a while, and it wouldn't be a surprise to see him bounce back Darl Jacob rides this time around. But preference for me is for Wizard's Bridge, who's another horse who comes here out of form in theory. Recent form figures for him, pulled up third, pulled up fifth, fell, pulled up, which suggests he's badly out of form. But he's fallen a long way in the weights fairly quickly. He's a course and distance winner as well. And he was very, very heavily supported in a race at Fontwell the other day, which was declared void in the end because they had a stricken horse on the course and the runners were flagged down on the final circuit. So we don't know how he would have fared there. He was in second place at the time, but he'd been backed into a short price favourite, suggesting that connections think they've got him back in form. So given he's running off the same mark, he's clearly going to be well backed again, and it'd be interesting to see what kind of prices come out about him this evening. But given he's got course and distance form, Richard Johnson looking a good booking for the Colin Tizard Yard, and he's potentially well handicapped, he gets the vote.
Yep, looks to be well placed in this race. Wizard's Bridge, the selection in the 3:10 at Exeter. Let's move on to the flat then. We're going to Yarmouth for this race. It's a class 4 race, and it's over the 6 furlongs. Quite a big field to look through here. Where do we start with these 15 runners?
That is exactly what I thought when I saw the field. It's a nightmarish contest. A lot of lightly raced horses in here for a race of this nature. A 6 furlong handicap, you expect to know all about the runners. And we do about most of them. But we do have some very interesting horses who have had very little racing. Santorini only made his debut earlier this month, winning a maiden, and a bad maiden at that, at Windsor. You've got Tailwind and Saucy Spirit, who got very similar profiles. Both won all-weather maidens when last seen, but both of those were a long time ago, not seen since October, Saucy Spirits, October last year, that is, almost entirely a year off the course. And Tailwind's last run came in December. Either of those could easily be much better than their current marks. You know, if they were right well enough to be running through the summer Given the profiles and the yards they're with, you would have expected them to be climbing the weights. So they could easily be well handicapped, given time to mature. But of course, you've always got the question mark as to exactly why they've been off the track and what problems they've had. I know with Roger Varian, who has tailwind, the yard was out of form in the summer, but doing much better now. So you have to respect the pair of those. But I'll go back to Santorini. We know he's fit because he made that winning debut. It really wasn't much of a race, but he was pretty green, slowly into stride in a race that wasn't run at a particularly strong pace, and ended up running out a decisive winner. The speed figure for that race is very moderate, but that's because of the nature of the race. The impression he gave in winning that was that he was in a completely different league to his opposition. He only won by a length, and there'll be horses in there who wouldn't be capable of winning handicaps off a mark in the 50s. But I suspect that Santorini is a fair bit better. Comes from a yard who does very, very well with sprint handicappers. And the handicappers had to take a massive guess with his opening mark, given a mark of 75. That's marginally too high in terms of the form that he's shown, but it's impossible to tell how good he is. And he looked physically a very good prospect. So I'll take a chance on him improving the requisite chunk he needs to be competitive here.
Okay, Santorini, the selection then in the 350 at Yarmouth. Yeah, there's a couple of horses there with three-figured numbers next to their names, so we'll see how they get on. Newcastle is the next venue we're going to. It's over the all-weather. A couple of races here we're going to look at momentarily, the 330, but we're going to start half an hour earlier with the 3 o'clock Class 4 race over the 6 furlongs, and the 12 go to post at the time of recording here.
Yeah, not too many of these in tremendous form at the moment. Tanasok's very interesting for Owen Burrows, an improving three-year-old wearing first-time headgear. He was second at Yarmouth on his last start last month, and I think he'd be reasonably popular because there should be more to come from him. But I'll take a chance on War Department bouncing back. He's been a tremendously frustrating horse. He went off, I think, second or third favourite for last year's Coventry Stakes at Royal Ascot. Having bolted up on his debut, looked a really good prospect when racing for William Haggis. Lost his way, we ran badly in the Coventry and then lost his way later in the season. Was moved by owner Bill Gredley to Michael Bell, but did no better, and ended up being sold and joining Keith Dalglish. Keith managed to belatedly coax him back to winning form when scoring over 7 furlongs at Newcastle in August, and he ran even better off a higher mark over this course and distance next time out. He was a warm favourite to win that day, and obviously only came third, but still looks solid form. He ran a stinker next time out, but essentially, his turf form for a long time has been very moderate, and his two runs on the all-weather have been his best runs. So I think if you threw out that run at Musselburgh last time out, bringing him back to the all-weather, with Shirley T still claiming £3 off him, I think he's got every chance of bouncing back to form.
OK, War Department, the selection then in the 3 o'clock at Newcastle. As I mentioned, we're going half an hour later at the same venue. This is the second division of that particular handicap. And again, the same distance, 6 furlongs. 11 this time to sift through.
Not an especially strong-looking handicap for the grade. And the one that appealed to me was Spanish City, who's been off for a while. This three-year-old colt ran poorly when last seen on his handicap debut. But that was in the middle of June when Roger Varian's horses were running poorly. Given time off since that, Roger Varian has had a number of horses who would run disappointingly in the height of summer, who were then given time off and have bounced back to show the form to be wrong. He'd previously won a maiden at Windsor prior to that in a decent time, and his mark of 76 looks fair enough. Clearly, if you judge him on his handicap debut at Doncaster, he's got plenty to do. But the fact that he was immediately off for 115 days after that run suggests that he was sick at the time. He's up against very exposed handicappers here. And with Roger Varian's horses going well at the moment, I think he looks like he'd be hard to beat.
Yeah, trainer in form, Roger Varian has Spanish City in this one in the 3:30 at Newcastle. So they're the four races we're going to look at. And you heard Rory's selections in each of them. We'll be back again for Wednesday. Rory, thank you very much for your selections.
My pleasure.
And good luck with all your bets. Keep listening to William Hill Racing Radio to hear all of our pundits throughout the week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.